writing occupants too while she's driving.
There you go. Hopefully she has at least one hand on the wheel.
Hi, this is Don Horan, author of Slugline, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Whatever you do, I'll do it too. Show me everything and tell me how. It all means something and yet nothing to me. I can see there's so much to learn. It's all so close and yet so far. I see myself as people see me. Oh, I just know there's something bigger out there. I wanna know, can you show me? I wanna know about these strangers like me. Tell me more, please show me. Something's familiar about these strangers like me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jacob,
and Jonathan,
and Logan.
And today we have two guests with us. They are the writer and director of the feature film Occupants. The writer is Julia Camara, and the director is Russ Emmanuel. So, both of you, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
This is one where it's running the circuit on the cons and the circuit. And I know one of the things that we've only seen the trailer, so forgive us if we don't know a whole lot about this.
Yeah.
But we want to first start off with one of the things I want to ask is, this started out as a Kickstarter campaign, correct?
Well, it was actually Indiegogo, but it's pretty much the same thing. It's like a crowdfunding, but right. It really started with Julia. And Julia is better at explaining this because she came up with the concept. Okay. I only came on board when her script was optioned in February of 2014. Is that correct, Julia?
Yeah, that's correct. That's when I first met our producer, Howard Nash, face-to-face. He's based in New York, and we had been talking on the phone for a couple of months, I think, before we finally met face-to-face and signed all the agreements. And he was visiting L.A. in February, so it worked out. But before that, I had written a couple of drafts of the script. The very first draft I wrote on a 12-hour flight from L.A. to Sao Paulo, Brazil, which is where I'm originally from. Okay. But I always wanted to tell a sci-fi story on a low budget. So I came up with this concept of, you know, basically two characters. And then there's the two alternate versions of themselves in one location.
That helps.
But yeah, basically it.
Okay. Well, I just want to get that real fast. But some of the details with Julia, as she mentioned, she does come from Brazil. So she has come up here. She's written and directed, produced different things, as well as Russ. Some of the things she's done is Area Q, which is a sci-fi drama. And it was released down in Brazil as well in 2012. It was part of the Hollywood Film Festival. She's won awards. She's won for the short comedy, Never Odd or Even. And also, she won Best Conceptual Comedy Short at the New York International Independent Film Festival. She's done horror. Hey, we've done horror here too. So the short horror film, Scream Machine. And she won honorable mention for the... what is that? The Tabloid Witch Awards. Wow, that's an interesting one. one of the ones that I'm really interested in seeing the first is Open Road. We haven't seen that one yet, but I saw the trailer, and that one was really piquing my interest. And she's written other shorts as well. With Russ, he's been around as well. He's been directing and producing as well. He is award-winning with The Girl with Gun. And he has also done the zombie flick, The Diary. He's won, of course, both of them are associated with Occupants, but has won several awards here, and we'll get into those later. And Russ has run several different awards, so I'd have to say go to the IMDb page, and you can see quite a few of his awards that he's won. Just some of the ones, The Diary won Best Horror Scary Short at the Hollywood Mini DV Festival, Girl with a Gun at the Telly Awards with Bronze Trophy, Best Film for PJ at the New Jersey International Film Festival. So both of them come around and are really into the industry, have done well in the industry, and for some reason have chose to stick with the industry. So you guys are brave.
No, we're crazy. We're nuts. Actually, it's our parallel versions.
There you go.
That's what happened. It's our evil versions.
With all these awards and all these projects you've had, do you have any downtime at all?
What's that? I don't know what that means.
You know? Okay.
Julia?
Well, Russ has been on the tour of the United States with Occupants this last year. I don't think he really saw more of the inside of his house than he saw of the inside of an airplane and a car. He traveled everywhere. I mean, I went on some of the trips, but yeah, Russ, I don't think he spent more than like a couple of weeks at his house. Well, this
I'm trying to reenact Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where, you know, they got stuck in Wichita, Kansas. Yeah, yeah. So, that's what I'm trying to do. Trying to do my multi-state tour.
Well, we did try to meet you in Oklahoma, but that one kind of panned out, so.
I know. I'll try to get there. Julia, let's go. Come on. Road trip.
Okay. Road trip.
Yeah. Woo! But yeah, I'm afraid now it'd have to be in the Wichita area because the place down in Oklahoma City, they've actually moved there now in Arkansas.
Yep.
So they're about 6.5 hours away from Oklahoma City. So it's.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they've had a drastic change where they had to move Starbase Studios. Thankfully, I didn't have to lift anything.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Vance Major Owen, right?
Yes.
And they had to move. They had to move to a state that I call Arkansas.
Yeah.
You're not the only one who does that.
Well, it's the actual correct pronunciation.
No,
actually, no, Julie and I, we love Arkansas. You know why? You know why we love Arkansas?
Why is that?
That is where our sponsor is located, Mountain Valley Springwater. I'm giving a shout out to them. Thank you so much for your water that we used in the film. And also for the crew.
There you go.
Nice.
Hey, yep. Every little bit helps when you're working with a small industry. So independent industry, that's one of the areas you both are very familiar with. Julie, you mentioned this as well. You wanted to do a independent sci-fi film. What led to this desire to knock this out and then with Russ coming on and the process of going forward?
So, I had actually, yeah, when I wrote Occupants, I had just finished working on the film that was definitely had a higher budget than Occupants, which was called Open Road. And I was eager to get back to, you know, simpler filmmaking in a way without stars or, you know, people that are very well known. Although we did end up with Robert Picardo, I originally had envisioned this film with really completely unknown actors because I think found footage tends to work better that way if you really don't know who you're seeing.
Right.
And, you know, this is Brianna's first role, and I guarantee she's not going to be, you know, unfamous for very much longer. She is amazing. She did such Brianna a good White. Job with this. Yeah, for being her very first leading role in a feature film, she just blew it out of the water. She's amazing. But I wanted to do something, you know, low budget, like a simple idea that could really open up to a more complex world, which is what we have in the sequel. We definitely are expanding what we did in the first film, and it's going to be a much bigger universe and not just the two characters this time. But yeah, I think sci-fi at its best is when, you know, we pose simple questions about us as people on this planet and the choices we make, and we go from there. It gives us a lot of room to explore, you know, what's right or wrong and what choices should we make or what choices would we make were we put in a certain situation.
For instance, I had a decision to make, either Brazilian barbecue or Korean barbecue. that's one of my choices. Okay, bad joke. Getting back to Julia.
Oh, man. I won't go there. Okay.
So it's not that I'm a hungry or anything.
With the Occupants, like I said earlier, we've only seen the trailers. And
yep.
What are the plans on releasing the film to the general public? Are there plans eventually for that to come about?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Cool. In fact, our distributor is ITN, headed by Stuart Olson, and he's going to the NAPTE market, which is a big television market, and it's going to happen in the next couple of days. And we already have the DVD Blu-ray cover finalized, so it's only a matter of time. And we got both domestic and international distribution. Domestic covers United States and Canada. Very and cool. International is every other territory. So just stick with us, trust me, because it's going to get out there sooner than later.
I was going to say, and Julia kind of mentioned this, you've been hopping around all the conventions and everybody's been seeing it, except everybody else. It's kind of like, watch our movie.
Well,
like, we can't.
We do have a couple of screenings coming up at film festivals, but they might be too far for you guys to attend.
Probably just a smidgen.
Well, we're playing what, SoCal Film Festival in February, and
yeah, Huntington Beach. Yeah,
in Huntington Beach, and Nevermore later in February. That's in Durham, North Carolina.
That's a lot.
And where else are we playing, Russ? You should know all the dates.
I do, because it's right in front of me. Okay, so we're playing. We are playing at the SoCal Film Festival, as Julia mentioned. That's in Huntington Beach, where I live. So for me, it's very special because you know, it's I have a group of family and friends, and Julia, you better come because you're part
I'm
of
coming.
That group. Excellent. So that's February 9th through 11th of this year. And then the DC Independent Film Festival, that's in its 18th year. That's February 15th through 20th. And they're giving us two screenings. The Cosmic Film Festival, February 17th through 19th. And this is the first anybody's hearing of this. We
cool.
got a nomination for Best of the Festival.
Oh, very
they
cool.
let us know. Yeah. Mm. Yesterday. So I'm just letting everybody know now. It's out of the cat's out of the bag. And then we got the widescreen film and music video festival, where we're nominated for best feature and best editing. That's February 17th through 19th, at the same time as the Cosmic Film Festival. And then this one, the 23rd annual Sedona International Film Festival. That's a really big one, and to get into that, I was just blown away. But that's February 18th through 26, and then, as Julia mentioned, it's another really good one in its 18th year, the Nevermore Film Festival. February 24th and 25th is our screening. We're getting two screenings. Ooh. And then we're in April. This is now in April. We're going to play in Denver at the Starfest Denver. It's a Star Trek type convention. So they're giving us a panel and a screening. And and that's special for me too, because my uncle and aunt and cousin live there. So shout out to Richard and Joanne and Melanie. And yeah, if you're in Vegas, Hollywood Dreams Film Festival in July, come on by and let's go gamble.
There you go.
So that's what's going on.
That's where the next budget of the film's going to, right? Okay.
That's where we're going to win big bucks to make the next film. Yeah.
Exactly. That's how we're going to raise the money for the second film. That's exactly it. You see?
It all works
out. I play a mean roulette. I always win when I play roulette. So we'll put it all on black.
Just keep buying your drinks.
And you said the one in Denver, that was April. What was that again?
What's that for, April?
Yeah, Starfest in Denver.
Yeah, it's called Starfest Denver 2017. It's in its 40th year.
What's the dates
and it's
for
a
those?
Star Trek convention, basically.
And what are the dates for that?
That's April 21st to 23rd.
I might have to look at the calendar. That's the closest one to us, and that's 5.5 hours away. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. Colorado borders Kansas, right?
Yes.
And Kansas it borders Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Geography time.
I failed Geography 101, so please forgive me. I mean, I know where California, Vegas, and in Arizona are, but you know, everything else is a big blank. Yeah.
Well, you've mentioned some of the awards you've been nominated for. Some of the ones you've already won is for the Best Shorts Competition. You were awarded the Merit Award. And at the Chandler International, you won for Best Thriller. Looks
yeah, we just won. In fact, we just screened yesterday. We screened yesterday at 3:45 p.m., and it was repped by our associate producer, Eric Kask, who happens to also be the editor of the comic book. We have a comic book tie-in to the film, drawn by DC Marvel Comics artist Dave Beatty. So that was Chandler, Arizona, and he repped the film there while I was in Idlewild, the Idlewild Film Festival. And there we got 9 nominations, and we won 2. Excellence in filmmaking, and Julia, what's the second one?
Oh, best screenplay.
Really? Woo! Yeah. So we that just happened yesterday. I tell you, Idlewild, California, it's like 2 hours away from Los Angeles, but it's a whole different world. Evergreens, snow. There's snow on the ground. And that's not normal in LA. So you were talking about how you had an ice storm.
True.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I've never seen an ice storm. I grew up in Brazil and then moved to LA. I don't know what real winter is like.
We don't get it too much here, but when it comes in, it's sometimes not the funnest. But congratulations.
When it rains for us in Southern California, we think it's the end of the world. We try to like put our affairs in order when we get a little bit of rain.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of rain, Julia, in a couple of days, by the way. I know.
Should
it's
I
bad.
Brace for the apocalypse then?
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. It's going to start on, ironically, the 20th. So,
oh, my God. You know what that is, right? That's just God crying for America.
Well,
I just got the reference.
Yep, I know what it was. That's one
but getting back words. To the Betty, getting back to the winds.
Put it this way, it'll be an interesting 4 years if it lasts that long. Well, congratulations to both of you both for all the awards, and Julie, the personal award you just received as well. So congratulations to both of you for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, our biggest one, though, was, and it's a big, big one for us, the Shriekfest one. The Shriekfest Horror Film Festival, we won the top prize there for the best sci-fi feature film. And I think because of that win, and that was in October, it kind of accelerated everything that's been going on since then. So, you know, the festival director, her name is Denise Gossett. She's a wonderful woman, you know, and I was just, you know, I mean, I don't know how you feel, Julia, but I was just stunned.
Yeah, that festival is such a great festival. And I had attended, God, I think maybe 10 years ago, I had a screenplay place in the competition. And I just remember having a great experience at the festival. And now here we are 10 years later. I think the festival is, in its 16th year?
Yeah, 16.
And it ran really smoothly. The screening was one of the best ones we had. Great screening room. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking it out. There's always other great films, too, not just our film, which is clearly the best.
No bias there.
We have the
all.
Trophy to prove it.
There you go.
They had some other great films and great parties. That's a great fest. I mean, it was super exciting that they chose us and then they gave us an award. So
it was actually screened at the Raleigh Studios, which is one of the oldest Hollywood studios in Los Angeles. It was founded by Charlie Chaplin, Mary Pickford, and Douglas Fairbanks. So it's a very old, and it's right across from Paramount Pictures. So it's at the heart of old Hollywood, and it was a wonderful screening. We had the best audience reaction, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was like when the credits came up. I mean, Julia, just clapping, it wouldn't stop, right? I mean,
that was a great audience. Yeah, I love it when
I was
the audience
so
is
grateful. Yeah,
yeah, when the audience is right there with us and reacting at all the right moments, it's like that's great to hear.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys are knocking it out of the park. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I think they're hinting, Julia, that they want to see the film.
Yes.
I think so.
Well, just talk to us after the interview.
Okay. So you guys talked a little bit about working with Brianna, but what was it like to work with Robert Picardo a little bit since he was such a big hint? I barely started getting into Star Trek, and I started with Star Trek Voyager, so I absolutely know who Robert Picardo is right now off the top of my head. But how is it?
Well, Star Trek Voyager just had its 20th anniversary, by the way.
I know, that's sad. Yeah. Don't remind me.
I know, right? Don't we all feel ancient?
Well, Julia, I'm going to make you feel more ancient. The 22nd anniversary.
Oh, thank you for correcting me. Okay, now...
You're welcome.
I need to go and get fitted for a cane, I think.
Yeah, get me one, too. Okay.
Both of you guys don't have anything on me. I'm virgin on the other franchise of 40 years with Star Wars that it's been in my life.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't feel like that long when it goes by, though.
Hey, I'm barely going on my 10-year high school reunion, so... I mean, I feel older than a lot of people right now, so...
You're a babe.
You're a young gun.
But anyway, I've derailed this now. Yeah. We're back to Robert. You were mentioning about that.
Yeah, so Russ has worked with him multiple times before, and has already worked with him again since the film. It was my first time meeting him, and I have to say, I was a little starstruck.
I would have been too.
I got home that night, and I'm like, unbelievable that Robert Picardo was reading my lines today. That's like, I don't know, pinch me. It was really exciting for me. He's so professional. He's so classy. He's like such a great guy. But Russ probably has more fun stories than me, just being a complete geek, being super excited that he was on set.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, he goes by the name Bob. Picardo is, I worked with him since 2006, and it's on a feature film called PJ. It was my first feature film. I was 29 years old. And it was not just him, but like John Hurd, he was the Home Alone Dan, Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos, Hallie Eisenberg, the Pepsi Girl. It was just this big cast, and I was from LA, and we filmed in New York, and, you know, Julia mentioned Howard Nash. It's because of Howard Nash that I'm here today, that I'm talking with you, to Julia, that we got these awards. So, you know, Howard Nash is the one who started PJ, and because of PJ, I did Chasing the Green, which Picardo was part of, and that's another feature. Then we did Nathaya, mm-hmm. our third one with Picardo again, and right. then now we did Occupants. So, funny stories? Yeah, I mean, the guy is hilarious. He's really funny, you know. You know, he would tell jokes on sets, but at the same time, he's very professional. So I got to know how to work with him over the years. And I knew that our two lead actors who we mentioned, Brianna White, mm-hmm. she's incredible, but also big shout out to Michael Pagliacci. And they both got nominations at Idlewild, by the way, for Best Actor and Actress. And they won at Dazed for Horror cool. Film Festival for those roles. So they're both wonderful, but I knew what was going to happen because Bob likes to read with the other actors, and even though they didn't technically have to be there that day, I wanted them there because I wanted the most natural performance between the three actors. And what happens, the reason that they didn't have to be there is because he was on a webcam, so they weren't physically in the same scene, if you will. Right. However, yeah. they did interact with each other, so I wanted them there. And it was kind of funny because the room that we shot in, and remember, Julia, it was very small. It was like the bedroom. And there was like a green screen set up. And then, you know, we had Bob sitting down. And then I guess we had like a keyboard or something in front of him or something, just give him a prop to work with. Well, there was so little space for anything else that the other two actors were in the closet. Literally, they were in the closet. I'm not kidding. And then that's where the DP was, and the camera was there. I mean, I couldn't be in the room. Remember, Julia, we had to be outside because there was a room. Huh. So it was a very very funny experience. And I think one thing that I recollect, what was it? The flies. Do you remember the flies, Julia?
Yeah.
The flies. They were everywhere. I'm telling you, we have a blooper reel. And the reason I mentioned the flies is because the flies landed on Bob's shoulder during one take. And he had to, like, flick it off. I'm telling you, those flies were so annoying.
Okay.
But yeah.
Get but some it was authenticity great. In there, you know?
Yeah, you got to have that fly on the wall sometimes.
Well, we had to digitally remove some flies from the shots in the film.
Oh, no.
We did. That's not a joke.
So there was a line on the budget for fly removal.
we did have a fly swatter on set.
Ooh, that could
that was also a part of the fly removal budget.
Exactly.
That could lead to some scrubbing of walls, though, if you get them too bad.
Ooh. Oh no.
So, Russ, you mentioned Howard Nash. Who is Howard Nash?
Howard Nash is a god. No, Howard Nash is just—he's freaking amazing. What can I say about Howard? Howard is a go-getter, you know. And he's done a lot more feature films than I have. You know, he started in 1991 on a film called Children of the Night. I mean, he
recognize that did title.
That was a horror film back. You know, it was yeah. you know back I guess 25 years ago.
I haven't.
He
did seen Jose, it, but I've recognized the title. Sorry, I keep interrupting. Yeah.
Oh, no. And he did Jose Feliciano, The Legend, so he worked with him. That's the guy who, you know, sang Feliz Navidad.
Yep.
He worked with the rapper Ice-T and John Heard, the Home Alone dad, on a film called Tracks, and that was in 2005. And this is before I even started working with them. Howard and I, we met in 2004 at a bar in Sunset on the Sunset Boulevard, the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. And it was a chance meeting with another director friend of mine. He says, come on, you know, and have a drink with my friend Howard. I'm like, okay, sure. And at that time, I had done this film called Girl with Gun. Mm-hmm. And it had gotten into a lot of festivals and won awards. Not as much as Occupants. Occupants is, I don't know, that's a whole other puppy. But Girl with Gun, this was, remember, back in 2004. And it got into San Diego Comic-Con, which was the highlight of, I think. Yeah, and at that time, you know, I was like, wow, this is San Diego Comic-Con.
It's Mecca.
But now Julia and I, we've been to San Diego Comic-Con again, right?
Yeah. Occupants also got into San Diego Comic-Con.
It did, yeah. So it's kind of like so the circle is now complete kind of thing, you know?
That was some good exposure for you then.
Yeah.
No, Sandy, I'm telling you, and you don't even call it San Diego Comic-Con. It's just called Comic-Con because right. that's the original Comic-Con. That's the name. And when we got a call, and I'm segueing here a little, but when Adam Neese is the festival director, he goes, hi, this is Adam Neese of Comic-Con. And I'm going, which one? But yeah, then I realized, oh, he means the actual one, San Diego. So, yeah, San Diego Comic-Con, that is the original one, founded in 1970. So, you know, Girl with Gun, it got in all that. And Howard, I gave Howard a copy of the film. And he says, you know what, this is, you know, I think I want to offer you the role of directing the feature called PJ, as John Hurt attached. And he says, you raise the other half of the money, then I will allow you to direct this film. And I was able to raise the other half. So that's when I first met Robert Picardo, by the way. He was doing a play in Hollywood, and when he saw me, you know what he said? He said, you're gonna direct me? Uh-oh. You're young enough to be my son.
Yes.
This is the first time I met Bob.
Yes, I've had that comments when I first started up here, so I know what you're feeling.
I know. So it's the start of a beautiful friendship. So, but since then, you know, I've been on other interviews, and Bob has come on some of them, and he's like, so, Russ, we're going to make our next film. And then I remember on Assassin's Apprentice, I just did that film after Occupants. We filmed that in December. Right. Also with Marina Sirtis. She was Counselor mm-hmm. Troy on Star Trek The Next Generation. So those two actors. So he was saying, even he forgot how many times we worked together. He's like, well, did we work four times? And I say, I think six. Even I forgot. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he's just such a great guy. And it's all because of Howard Nash, you know? I mean, he's friends with Howard. So that's where the connection comes in. And, you know, I will always have Howard Nash's back because he's just, I wouldn't be here without Howard. So
with the new advent of going to the conventions, was this the same back when you first started? Like you mentioned PJ and Julia, some of your earlier works, there weren't as many cons back then as there are now to really get your product out there. Were there?
There weren't, but also PJ was a drama, so it wasn't really like a fit for the Comic Cons. Okay. Whereas, you know, Occupants, it was a match made in heaven, I guess. because how many cons have we gotten into, Julia? Jeez, I don't know.
Oh, I've personally been to a lot of them, so we've gotten into a lot.
I know you're in the double digits for sure.
Phoenix, Portland, San Diego. There was the Mesa, Arizona.
Oh yeah, Comic and Media Expo. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you went to Florida and Alien Con. Oh, and the Stan Lee
Oh yes,
Dan here Lee. In LA.
Well, you were there too.
Yeah, in LA. What's the other one? The LA comic and sci-fi. Oh, yeah.
Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention. That's it, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, we've been to too many, but those are the ones I can remember that I've been to. I think you've been to a ton of others. Oh, Portland. I forgot Portland.
No, you said Portland.
I did? Okay. Then Portland again.
Let's just say we've been to quite a lot of Comic-Cons. I mean, it's been amazing, though, because I mean, Julie and I, we've got to tour the country. And it's just such a beautiful country just to be able to see everything, you know, whether for me, like Miami, you know, I mean, it's just a different environment than, let's say, Ohio versus, you know, Phoenix. Remember Phoenix, Julia? It was 117 degrees and there was a line outside. There was a line outside and people were what's called cosplaying, you know, dressed up.
Oh, yes.
And they were dressed up in 117 degree weather. I was like, whoa. That's called bravery right there, you know?
Well,
it's amazing.
I was at the Woodstock of conventions. It was held in Denver for the first Star Wars celebration.
Yeah.
And the reason I call it and some other people call it the Woodstock of conventions is because for that weekend, it just was a torrential downpour. And the building was so many people showed up, the fire marshals come in and capped the attendance. So there was people standing out in the rain waiting to get in and shuffling through. So,
yeah. Oh, you're talking about a literal downpour.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Rain. So, yeah, that was my Woodstock of conventions. So.
Well, it could be worse. It could have been an ice storm.
That's true. That is true. But with all these things, and Julia and Russ, both of you comment on this since you've done different productions, with an independent film, and Russ, you mentioned you've had to come up with half the funds, and we've mentioned with Occupants, you went through Indiegogo. What are the avenues that both of you have had to go through for funds, and which ones do you think are probably the ones that people responded to the best?
Well, I know, Julia, you've done bigger productions than I have. With several million-dollar budgets, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Both Eric. Well, Eric Hugh was. It started as a smaller film and it grew. But Open Road, yeah. When it was all said and done, it was a couple of million, and it had, you know, name actors and everything.
Was it Andy Garcia or?
Andy Garcia and Juliet Lewis. Yeah, yep. Camilla Bell. And yeah, it's
so is this one that went over budget?
A different animal when you're doing, you know, when you're dealing with like $1 million to $2 million budget versus, you know, the budget bracket that we had for Occupants, which I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Well, let's just say that we raised, and this is public knowledge, so, you know, anybody can look this up. We raised $28,172, I think. Okay. So, I mean, the budget was more than that, but that's how much we raised. Okay. And if that gives you any indication, this is one reason I'm proud of this film. We mentioned Shriekfest, that we won the best sci-fi feature film. We were up against a $1 million film.
Oh,
and we
cool.
beat that film.
Cool.
And that film was good. So I thought we had no chance whatsoever.
So you shrieked
so
at Shriek
Fest? So it's a testament. Fest? What's that?
So did you shriek at Shriek Fest?
Yeah. Oh, Shriek Fest had really wonderful films, I'm telling you. No,
did you shriek at Shriek Fest?
Oh, did I go? Yeah, I did.
So I think a lot of times the beauty of crowdfunding, though, although it is like a full-time job until you're I've crowdfunded before, too. Until your project is over, it feels like you have a full-time job on top of everything else that you're doing. Because if you don't, you know, constantly harass everyone you know, you're not going to raise the money. But the beauty of crowdfunding is that a lot of times you end up spreading the word about the film before you even, you know, did anything. So, and you have a direct line to everyone that contributed pretty much, you know, at any time you can send a message about the campaign to everyone that contributed on the Indiegogo. And we have, what, like a couple of hundred people?
Yeah,
that are getting messages all the time that we now get into a festival or have a screening or win an award. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, it does give you a direct line to your audience, but it is a lot of work.
Hey,
definitely
Julia.
Definitely not easy.
So, yeah. Julia, so going by my experience, how many people hate you now for knocking on their door?
It's crowdfunding is not easy. I remember when I crowdfunded for a short film, and when I was finally done and I posted on social media, I'm like, okay, I am done, you guys. You will never have to hear about this project again. I actually had a few people go, okay, thank God. I'm like, wow, yeah, they were so over me and my project.
Oh my gosh, you don't know how many people I alienated, and I was so profusely apologetic to them. I don't know how many cups of coffees I bought, because, you know, I mean, I literally was a door-to-door salesman, I tell you, whether it's online or in person. So I know I annoyed people. I know that for a fact. But, you know, like Julia said, we had no choice. What right. choice did we have? So, you know, we had to do it, and guess what? We did, and it succeeded. And, you know, we have this film called Occupants now. So,
and you mentioned earlier, as part of this crowdfunding with Indiegogo, was the prequel comic. So I want to ask you about that. And Julia, did you have since you were the screenwriter, did you write the script for the comic as well? So if you want to go into the comic book.
So the comic came after the film, although it is like another tool, and we expanded the universe. But Russ was actually the one that wrote the story of the comic. But it's like, it's a spin-off of, you know, it's an expanded universe of the story in the film. So they exist parallel of each other.
But that's a very good word to use for
parallel.
For
yeah.
Occupants. No, I wrote it. I wrote it out of honestly, I guess out of necessity, in the sense that it had to fit 24 pages. I mean, look, I've never. I don't know about you, Julia, but I've never done a comic book.
Never done a comic book either.
Did you know that a one shot is 24 pages and it's on average about 7 panels? This is what I learned from Dave Beatty and Eric Kask. I mean, they taught me this. I didn't know. I just was thinking, okay, what can we do? What can we do? And I'm not going to give it away, but it's an original story. It's tied in during Acts 1 and 2 of the feature film, and it does have Annie and Neil Curtis, the main characters, and Robert Picardo in minor roles. They are there as cameos, and there's other cameos too. So what happened was we did a second crowdfunding through Indiegogo, and the first time, I think for the feature, we raised like 106%. This time, and it's on a smaller budget, you know, because right. it's a comic book, not a feature film. So we were able to double what we wanted. So we raised like 200-something%. And by doing that, it gave us extra money to be able to publicize not just the comic book, but the film once we were done. So it was very necessary seed money for us to spread the word of Occupants and its franchise, which now includes, as Julia mentioned before, and got the blessing of Howard, the producer, Occupants 2. And Julia wrote an incredible outline, and Julia, I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, me neither.
What?
I just have to write it first.
I didn't hear that.
I'm really, it's early. I mean, I'm usually faster when I'm writing a first draft, but you know, it's been kind of. It was what, right before Christmas that we all agreed. I'm like, all right, that's it. That's the outline.
That's right. And that's why you have to be like Grinch, you know, during Christmas and Scrooge and just forget about Christmas and start writing Occupants 2. Doesn't matter that you have a beautiful 3-year-old daughter or a wonderful husband.
Which I know, right? Yeah. Yeah. But before motherhood, I probably would have had a draft by now, but nowadays it's like, yeah, it gets tough.
Well,
my holidays were intense, so.
Right.
And Buffy, well, I understand. I was joking, as you know.
Well, I know, Russ, you have Assassin's Apprentice. You have, looks like here, Collar. Julia, you have In Transit. With other stuff being in production, is this coming back to back, or are you having a little bit of a space in between?
You know, I think, I don't know about you, Julia, for me, I just like to keep creating. I mean, I will always be occupied with Occupants, but, but I love doing this, you know, and Collar is something I'm going to shoot in a week. It's called a concept piece. You see, it's, a concept piece is to try to sell this, like, either TV series or a film franchise. Same thing with Assassin's Apprentice. Okay. So Assassin's was shot over 3 days. This will be shot over 2 days. But trust me, my heart is really into Occupants, too. You don't know how much I want to do it. So, you know, part of it is to hone my skills, I guess, and prep to prepare for Occupants 2. Because Occupants 2 will be much bigger than Occupants 1. So that's just my take on it. I don't know about you, Julia.
Yeah, no, I'm actually really excited to see Occupants 2 come to life. I'm like, every day that I work on the script, I fall in love a little bit more with the new characters and what, you know, the existing characters are doing in the sequel. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for all of us. But yeah, I do have In Transit. I shot, I actually directed that one. It was my first time directing a feature. And I shot that last year. And actually, most of it I shot the year before. Never mind. It's 2017 now. So I shot most of it in 2015, actually. And we spent a large majority of last year just doing a couple of pickups and editing, really. And I am hoping to have the film done by March. And that one's a drama, and it's very experimental, and it's definitely... I mean, they're all passion projects, but that one especially is a passion project. I mean, you pour so much of your heart and soul into every film you do. And so, yeah, we're in post with that one. And I'm always writing other stuff, too, parallel to Occupants and to any script. Like, at any given moment, I am writing more than one story. I have more than one film in my head. I'm writing multiple things or have something in post.
Cool.
I just, that's my thing. I feel like I also want one of my goals for the year is to shoot another short film. I just don't know what I want to shoot yet. So I'm kind of waiting to get inspired.
Well, Julia, aren't you going to be acting in a film?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ah.
An acting credit. Hey.
What's the film called?
It's a wonderful film called Collar, directed by Russ Emanuel.
Who is he?
No, it's this guy I've known.
He's
for a while.
Director that's just so
the
hard
one
to work with.
Speaking with you at different Comic Cons.
Yeah, that guy that kept photobombing me at Comic Con.
This is a funny story. Julia, can I tell this? This is really funny.
Go ahead, tell the story.
Now at San Diego Comic Con, Nichelle Nichols was there, and Nichelle Nichols is an icon, right? I mean, this is what Martin Luther King Day. So, she's one of the civil rights icons. Anyway, was it Julia and I? We were like just going around, right? I forgot who else was with us, but we were.
Timothy Conley was with us, and Eric Brown was with us.
Okay. And then
they both witnessed your photo bombing. Yeah.
Oh, no, here's what happened. No, don't get ahead of the story. It's some fun stuff. So I'm in my Star Trek outfit. I have this like engineer's outfit from DS9, right? Uh-huh. And Julia, what were you dressed? You were in was it red?
No, I wasn't in costume yet. I was just.
She was just streaking.
As my regular self.
You were Julia Camera. Okay.
Yes, so, that's who I was dressed as.
So Julia got in line, spent, it was like $50, I think, to get a photo with Nichelle Nichols, right? Oh, no, you had to redo the photo. That's what it was.
Yeah, I wanted
you had
to redo the photo. Yeah, because I had already done the photo the day before, and I had to redo the photo.
They allowed you to do it for free, right? It was free, and they said, go on in, come on, do it. So you handed me your camera, and I was very happy to take the photo. But then the person who was the liaison, she said, do you want to be in the photo, too? I'm like, sure. So I just rushed on in.
My photo with Nichelle Nichols is a photo of me, Nichelle Nichols, and Russ for some reason.
I'm sure that's on your mantelpiece.
Now, before you say Russ Emanuel's an evil director, what did I do, Julia? How did I make it up?
Yeah, and then then Russ paid for me to redo the photo. Well, the irony is that I then met Nichelle Nichols at another convention, and I was with my husband, and he's also a Star Trek fan, and we were both in costume. So I went and had my picture taken with her for the third time. I'm sure at some point they're like going to put me on the list. You know, they probably think I'm stalking this woman at this point. And then I got a Nichelle Nichols Barbie doll for Christmas from Tim, and I'm like, now I have to go meet her again because she has to sign my Nichelle Nichols Barbie, well, my Uhura Barbie doll. So yeah, I'm sure I'm on some sort of a restraining order situation with her at this point. Well, but now, it was all because of Russ.
But you see, now that you're on such good relationships with her, you can ask her to be part of one of your films.
Nah, she probably has like one of those pictures of her like no access zone right here.
No, but still, you built that relationship. Ask her to be in one of your films. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be another dream come true if we could get her in one of our, you know, future projects. But who knows? At this point, I don't know.
Occupants, it
might
is coming
be possible.
Out.
I am telling you. I mean, it might be possible. I did work with a producer who does know her, so I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and what you can do is you can give them the pitch that you've already had Voyager and Next Generation. You still need original series and Deep Space Nine.
Exactly.
That's the pitch, I think.
Oh, you're forgetting Star Trek Enterprise.
True.
Not forgetting, just omitting.
Oh, no. Just stabbing in the heart. That's the one I like.
Oh, boy.
All because of the intro song. Come on. It wasn't that bad of a show.
It wasn't that good of a show.
I like Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, well. This is one where I want to get back, since we kind of do comic books, too. I'm just kind of curious. Was this an exclusive just for the Indiegogo participants, or is this going to be something that you're going to put in, like, the DVD release as part of that packaging and marketing, or how's the comic fit in?
It's a promotional tool. We're not selling it. What we're doing is we're trying to expand the universe. For instance, I handed out some of these comic books at Idlewild.
Right.
Just to show that, you know, we're not just thinking one film. We're doing what's called transmedia franchising. Okay. And that's why I wanted to do the comic book, for that very reason. Just to show that we have, the guts to go ahead and just try it out and see what happens. Because I didn't know if it would be received well or not. I just said, you know, let's just do it. Let's just try it. Let's just see what happens. So far we've gotten a very good reception. And part of what's in the comic book is going to be incorporated into Occupants too. So it's going to be canonized.
Cool.
And, you know, like when Julia goes to Nevermore, we're also going to have some more comic books, which I have for you, Julia, by the way. So it's in the same package as your award.
Okay. I guess I'll get it from you when we shoot your next film, Color.
Perfect. That's right. That's right. And that's where we're going to meet. That's perfect. So, but yeah, so that's I don't know. I guess that's where the comic book fits in, and it was just a great experience. I met some great people through the comic book. I mentioned Dave Beatty, Eric Kask, Chris Winters, who's a co-producer on the film. He's the main character in the comic book. We have Timothy Lee Conley. We mentioned he is another main character in the comic book. Nicole Morris out of Arizona, she's another main character. They're the three main characters, basically. Mm-hmm. And we had letterer Al Sparrow, great guy, and the colorist for the cover, Brian Miller of Hi-Fi Studios. So these are professionals. These are people that at other Comic-Cons, and Julia, you were there. We met them again and again and again because they go to these events, too.
And we also went to the Long Beach Comic Con. I'm like slowly remembering all the Comic Cons we've been to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a great one. I love that. That was a great one, except for there was no reception.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, like we got no phone calls or no Wi-Fi. It was like, yeah, we were transported to the parallel world for some reason during that Comic Con.
And by the way, I got to give a shout out to Jennifer Durst. She was the hand model on Occupants. She was on the poster. You see a hand print.
Yeah.
That was her hand. She was what we call evil hands, and that was her character. And I can't really extrapolate on that, but
I was going to say, what did she do during the shoot with those evil hands? I don't know.
she was also, she helped out on Assassin's Apprentice, and again, she will help out on Collar. Mm. So it's going to be a mini reunion. And also Julia Alicia, the makeup artist, is coming back. It's just a little mini reunion. I love working with the same people again, you know, because it's like family, you know.
True.
And that's what I felt. That's why Occupants felt so good. You know, working with Julia, working with Alicia or Nina or Emil Harris, who's the DP editor, who's working on, he's going to be working on Collar and also the Assassin's Apprentice. So it's like, you know, it felt good. You know, Howard was there. It just felt really good. Okay. So, yeah, it was just it's a great time.
Cool. Well, we're running up on an hour, so unless we want to continue on, we can go ahead and sign off, because I know you guys are probably wanting to get some food into you. I know, Russ, you said you hadn't eaten anything. So.
No, I've just, I've been watching, you know, when I was in Idlewild, I was watching the Food Network.
Ah.
And I'll tell you, in Idlewild, I stayed at this great place called the Fern Valley Inn. They gave you a complimentary 3-hour log. Now, this log is, you know, wrapped in this, like, it looks like a plastic wrap, but it's not, it's paper. And what you do is you set it into the fireplace and then you light the top of it. And then it spreads out to the side and then it burns the log for 3 hours. Oh. And it was like 34 degrees outside. Okay. And luckily they had an actual heater because that was more for show. The log looked beautiful, but there was not generating any heat. So, and then I had the Food Network on. So I don't know. I still have that food mentality in my head because, you know, it was just such a great. I mean, I was under my blankets and just, you know, watching this TV and you know, I was spending a night at Idlewild because the next day was the award ceremony. So I don't know. Okay. It was just great, and that's why I kept talking about food. But no, it's all good. Okay. All right. It's not that I don't want tri-tip from Brazilian barbecue or anything. Okay. Julia, hint, hint.
Well, we've been having fun. Do you want to continue on, or do you want to go ahead and sign off for the night? Because, like I said, you guys are the ones that have your schedules.
Julia, I leave that up to you.
I should sign off.
Okay. Yeah.
And go eat some dinner.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's time for chow time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, before we're going to close out then, and then before you do, don't hang up when I actually say bye. So we want to get some stuff with you afterwards for both of you, if you don't mind.
Yes, sure. Of course.
But we'll go here and start closing out. We've been having fun visiting with Russ Emanuel, the director of Occupants, and the writer, Julia Camera. We appreciate both of them coming on. Are there any websites? I'll direct this to you, Julia, first. Any websites or anything that people can keep track of you? And then, Russ, you can go next.
So my website is just my name. It's juliacamera.com, JULIACAMARA.com. And you can find me on all social media under Julia MCA. I'm on Twitter, Julia MCA. I'm on Instagram, Julia MCA. Actually, not all social media, because I guess I'm only doing... Oh, you can find me on Vimeo and YouTube as well, Julia MCA. So.
Okay, cool. And I'm sure you have a Facebook account, or is that pretty much just for personal use?
I also have Facebook. Okay. There's a lot of pictures of my child on Facebook, so if you want to join me there, be prepared for that.
Okay. And you, Russ?
You could, first off, with the film itself, occupantsthemovie.com. That's occupants, plural. themovie.com. If you go to that page, you will see all the links to the Twitter page, to the Instagram page, to the YouTube page, to the Facebook page, to the comic book campaign page. So it's all there. Now, if you want to see my films, what I've done before and what I'm doing now, you go to russem.com. That's russemm.com. That's russem.com.
All right. Cool. So if everybody wants to keep up with Julia and Russ, be sure to check out their social media contacts and their websites to see what they're working on. And as I said, they're already starting to work on Occupants 2, so that's exciting news. Congratulations to both of you again for evidently... Let us see it, please, for a job well done.
Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, it's been fun. We've had fun. You guys have been fun to talk with. So I'm glad you shared with the jokes. So that's
well. You kept us. You kept us occupied. So thank
there you go. So check them out on their social media pages. We've been having fun here visiting with Russ and Julia. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening. We'll see you on the flip side, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Come along with me and don't be scared. I just wanna set you free. Come on, come on, come on. You and me can make it anywhere. But for now, we can stay here for a while. Cause you know, I just wanna see you smile. No matter where you go, you know.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.